And now if I hit record, I can hear me.
And I can... Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't tell if I'm hearing you in the room. Oh, yeah,
yes. You should be able to. I can hear myself in the room.
Okay, I think this works.
Welcome to Goober Time with Dr. Chris Chismore, hosted by Tom and Griffin.
We are your hosts, Tom and Griffin.
Unfortunately, our illustrious friend, Dr. Chris Chismore, is away on his important research and unable to host the podcast this week.
But fear not, dear listener, because he has left us in charge, and we are going to try to do a really good job of a podcast.
This week, Dr. Chismore has asked us to talk about
differences.
And we're, you know, you've seen us, we're both white guys, so we need to differentiate ourselves.
And if you haven't seen us, I think Tom just let the cat out of the bag that we are two white guys on a podcast.
It's important to talk about your race as the first thing.
Right.
When you are introducing yourself to somebody.
And we should land acknowledgments as well.
Yes. Hello, my name is Tom. I'm white and I am on stolen land.
Hello, my name is Griffin. I am white, and I was born on stolen land, but I'm actually, the square footage I'm on is actually my land in Tom's apartment.
Yeah. Griffin
I moved off of stolen land.
Griffin is sitting at the desk which I work at, and by desk, I mean the side of the kitchen table.
Right, and from my perspective, Tom is sitting at the table where I eat dinner at when I'm over at Tom and Jordan's house to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Is this fun yet?
Yeah. Because most of my day is spent in one chair in one specific area. And to really make my day exciting, I switch chairs to eat dinner so that I don't feel like I've sat in the same place all day.
Interesting. And I would say I am a man of many chairs. I can't sit still at all. And so I wander around Los Angeles finding different chairs. My voice just started sounding crazy different. I don't think anybody's going to confuse our voices.
No, no one's going to confuse our voices.
I think I sound a little bit like a Muppet that has a radio show, and you sound like five guys talking at once.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that's a difference.
I think people will know.
Yeah, I think people will know. I think we get a lot of comments on videos that we're in together, though, because they'll be like, oh, this is the same guy, kind of. And it is. Yeah.
And it is. And
we are kind of the same
guy. And in
a
lot of ways, we are the same guy.
I think we're both 6'3", right?
Yeah. I think I'm like hovering right under it. We both like the same, you know, two guys who like instrumental post-rock music.
Yes, exactly.
I can't remember what the other stuff was.
I mean, comedy. We both like comedy, you know. Which is pretty obvious.
We both like the ladies.
Yeah, we both like the ladies.
That's a scoop on the pod.
But
you're hearing it here first. Officially, I, Griffin, like girls.
Yeah, we're coming out as straight on the pod. It's important.
And Tom's coming in right behind me on that bandwagon. I'm turning around. I'm waving to him. And he's saluting me as two lady-liking fellas.
Yeah. But that also brings us to a difference.
Oh, interesting.
And the difference is that I'm married and Griffin is not.
I would describe that as Tom is married and I am depressed.
Yeah. Griffin is very far from marriage.
Okay.
But you are.
Yeah, it could happen at any moment.
I mean, not length of time, but as far as steps in a relationship, you are.
Well, and I think when I find the right one, we'll be skipping several steps.
Yeah, that's fine.
Getting to know each other, kissing, just go right to full fuck marriage.
Well, I mean, we're in our 30s, our mid 30s, and I feel like when you're in your mid 30s, you kind of have to go to full fuck marriage.
Wow, another first on the pod, another scoop on the pod. We're both in our 30s.
Yeah, we're both in our 30s, and we both just cussed for the first time on the podcast.
Right, we need to be watching our language.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Dr. Chris Chismore might have some notes for us.
Yeah, it is called Goober Time, but he still expects it to be professional.
Yes, absolutely.
In a sense.
Did I cut you off on a difference we were going? Oh, that no. You're married and I'm, you know, hopelessly single.
No.
Also, a difference. We're both in our 30s, but I'm currently, as of this recording, and for the full year, I'm 36. And Tom, you're
34. But I'll be 35 in May.
Wow. Okay. So narrowing the gap, but a difference. I'm older than you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm your senior. You are. You, and I think you finished school a year ahead of me.
Right, a year ahead and adult and but stupider.
Yeah, which is like this raises an interesting point that I think is good for a podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is like when I was a kid. When you're in school, like a year, you're like, oh, you're friends with people who are older than you, but like it's a big difference. And you're kind of like, oh, this is how life's gonna be. But then like when you're an adult, it really doesn't matter. Like it's so sure. weird to me that, you know, I'm friends with people of all ages. And it's not weird, but it's just wasn't what I expected.
It's weird
life
to me
be.
That you're friends with people of all ages, but just one race. And that's something that, you know, we can talk about off pod.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's an area for growth, I think.
Yeah. 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 I try, but.
But they reject you.
They reject
other
me.
Races yeah. reject
other races reject me.
Wait, what were you saying?
But it's just like, I remember as a kid being like, whoa. And I guess it kind of is. It's like a year or two makes a big difference. But then when you're an adult, it's like, oh yeah, I don't think I have a single good friend who's like the exact same age as I am. Or like with I maybe a few within a year.
Sure.
But I feel like most people I know are either a few years older, a few years younger.
And I think I'm about the same. Yep, I don't care about it anymore. And I guess your point is you used to care about it.
I think
I'm hanging out and talking to a fourth grader.
To an older guy.
And to me, it was the fourth grader.
Yeah.
I think that's when it was the most important. You're in kindergarten and you're kind of coming online and you're aware.
Yeah.
There are almost teenagers in the building. You're goddamned adults.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You're like, whoa, I'm hanging out with my sister and her friends. And now, like, my sister and her friends are like my friends or like me.
And your sister's 2 years older than you?
My sister is 3.5 years older than me.
3.5 years older than you. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I have a sister. Oh, which is a similarity. We both have sisters.
We both have sisters. I am, but therefore, I don't know what I was trying to say, but I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. I'm the youngest. You have a brother.
I have a brother.
And a sister.
And a sister. Shout out to Madison, my brother. And shout out to Elliot, my sister.
And another big difference is that your sister has a boy's name and my sister has a girl's name.
Well, and here's another difference is my brother has a girl's name and your brother died in the womb.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, that's the type of thing that like my parents would just tell me now. They would have told me as a kid, and they would have just casually dropped. Like, I think my parents have casually dropped big family secrets in the worst ways.
Yeah.
Not big family secrets, but like stuff like, you know, like my dad told me he had a vasectomy. He never told me he had a vasectomy until like within the year.
But you made it. You made it through.
Yeah, I made it. No, I wasn't. He had a vasectomy after me. But to me, I'm like, he never referred. I mean, I guess that's not something you want to tell your kids when they're young. But like, I've been like an adult for like 15, 16 years now. And it'd never be like, oh, yeah, I had a vasectomy.
Right. Like at some point you think it would have come up. It's like the kind of like, you know, oh, and by the way, you're adopted. Your parents might be, you know, let that go for longer.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. But I'm like, I would have told my son that I had a vasectomy just as a fun thing of like, hey, now that you're old enough, I should tell you, like, I had a vasectomy. Isn't that funny?
I think if my dad said that to me, I would say, okay. I don't know what I would say. I would say, why are you telling? I don't need to know this. Good.
I think
I'd say good.
Yeah.
Good. Three's enough.
Yeah, I think so. I'm proud of my dad. It's a good thing. More men should get vasectomies.
Really? Is that a stance that people have?
Yeah, I think so. I think now people are coming around to it and being like, oh, it's way easier for men to get vasectomies than it is for women to just like continually take a birth control pill or like get an IUD or something post
having
kids, because birth control can be so wonky on their bodies. So they're just like, oh, guys, yeah, it sucks to get your penis cut. I mean, they don't cut into your penis.
No, it's tough. It sucks to get your penis cut.
Yeah, it sucks to get your penis cut, but it's like, you know, they numb it up Mason, my friend, had a really funny story about getting a vasectomy. He got one.
But then it didn't take or something?
No, it did take. He just said it was kind of crazy. And he said that they had to, he went back in to see if it took, because they have to have you like jizz out the potent semen. And so like they make you come in regularly to test to see like, oh, your semen doesn't have any sperm in it anymore.
Keep flushing it out.
It has a little bit. Keep flushing it out. And so like the place that he went, he was like, assumed they had a room to do it. And they're like, no, you can't do that here. And he's like, well, where am I supposed to do it? And they're like, well, it needs to be fresh. You can't just like take it. You can't just do it at home, bring it in tomorrow. It needs to be like fresh.
We don't have a room you can jack off in, but we need a fresh jack off.
Yes,
now.
Yes, exactly.
And you can't go home and come back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he had to be like, well, he's like, well, where am I supposed to go? And she's like, I don't know, but you can't do it here. And was also like, don't do it in your car. Like, you can't do it in public, you know. But he was like, I couldn't like go over these places in which to try because she was going to say no. She was essentially like, you're screwed. So he's like, I had to go and in a parking garage and jack off in the parking garage.
How has this clinic never had to deal with this before?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
It's psycho because I've talked to other people, any place that where a semen
where
sample is required, they'll be like, here's the room to jack off in.
Right. I don't think I've, I don't know why I'm hesitant. I've never had to go in a room at a place that wasn't my house and jack off.
Yeah, neither have I, but I probably will soon.
Wow. Incredible. And that concludes the men's health portion of the podcast.
Yeah, that's our men's health corner, which I think Chris will be excited about.
I think he will. I think hell, weekly we can check in.
Yeah, men's health.
Men's health, but it's just about our bodies. Yeah, it's men's health. Two men's health. That's maybe a different name for a pod. That's a name for a different and maybe potentially a better and more successful podcast.
Yes.
Two men's health.
Two men's health.
Wow.
So what are some other differences that we have?
Other differences. Man, I was really thinking about this about 2 weeks ago when we first tried to record this and had a lot locked and loaded in the barrel.
I remember one of them.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, you're into film.
I like film.
Yeah.
And you like running up a hill.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What was the thing?
No, I think there's like you were way more into like the Criterion Collection.
Which is not that much. That makes it sound like I'm a full-on, I have it, but I don't know that much about it. And I think if somehow they took me into their closet and they said, here, you can get to pick some of these Blu-rays, which is a thing they do. I don't know if you know that, guy like you, troglodyte like you. I wouldn't know what to pick, and I'd kind of just pick whatever's recognizable, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Either way. Yeah, I respect the camera more than you.
Yes, Griffin respects the camera. I prefer, I guess, more mainstream or approachable media.
If you see the name Janice Films,
yes.
what happens to you?
I say, this movie is going to suck absolute shit. When I see that fucking coin come up before the movie, I say, oh boy, it's going to be a long ride.
This is going to be a brutal 2.5 hours.
Yeah, 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 sometimes three.
There's really going to be a Finnish guy talking about death for a little bit too long.
Yeah, and really the only movie that I think the movie that gave me that PTSD was like Stalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, you know... And this can, you know, be our movie reviews corner. This is a house with many corners we're building. It's almost all corners and there's no middle zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you call a room. Yeah. It's a middle zone. And the movie review corner is Stalker. I really wanted to love, and there's some beautiful scenery in there and not much for me to latch onto as far as a story or really caring about the characters at all. This is not a good take. I think cinema people would be going crazy and gnashing their teeth to hear this.
Well, let them gnash away. We're safe.
I say gnash away. It's time for you fuckers to eat something. Go get that jaw working. Start gnashing on this. Get a meal. Go outside. Get over, what's his name? Tarkovsky's bullshit.
Who?
The guy who made Stalker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, now I'm lost.
That's okay. But I can barely remember his name.
But I'd say that's a difference is like when we when you come over and you're like, let's watch a movie, and we're like, yeah, let's watch something. I think you usually have some, you know, interesting Criterion collection or like independent
yes.
films lined up. And then if me, Tom, or my wife, Jordan, choose, we're like, well, let's turn on a 1,000 Pound Sisters.
Right.
Or Love on the Spectrum, or, you know.
Let's watch obese autistic people have a bad time, is what you think of as fun.
Yeah,
like to see, maybe I can find some art, some beautiful, a diamond in the rough is what I'm looking for. I want to find something absolutely beautiful and human, and it shows me what it's like to be alive. And you want to watch people eating themselves to death and being so socially self-aware that it's crippling.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's just a fun watch.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think by saying that, I think everyone who's listening to the pod will be like, I kind of agree with Tom.
They will. They'll agree with Tom, but I'm going for the sensitive few.
Okay. Which I guarantee there will be a sensitive few.
I'm going for the people who like art.
Yes.
But also comedy. I think that's maybe my whole thing. And maybe it always has been, but I'm realizing it more and more. A comedy in art.
Yes. You
know, I like a beautiful film, and then somebody steps on someone's penis or something.
Yeah.
You know, or something silly happens, or just a beautiful film. I like to make films too.
Yes.
And you like to make little videos.
Yeah, I like to make little videos.
Very condescending. You make little videos.
Yeah,
I try to make films.
They are little videos, though. I mean, they are short videos.
And that's honestly also what I'm doing too. It's just I know how to use a camera, and
yeah.
I have a desire to subject people to 8 or 9 minutes of my internal world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess we won't release the one where we talked about this all already, because then this would just sort of be
yeah.
We can put it in the vault. That's in the vault.
I think we save it for the Patreon, and we
that's
say this
for the
is
Patreon.
This is the cursed, the real cursed first episode.
I love the idea of setting up a Patreon, and what's behind the paywall is the most cursed things we ever could have done. The most abortive attempts at content. I think people might like that.
Hey, buddy. I mean, really, the two. I think. Well, no. I'm a patron of one podcast, and they do put like cursed stuff.
Which one is it?
Well, it's Otherworld, but it's not like cursed as in like literally, but it is like they just put up like, it's not filler. It's mean to say it's filler. It's not, but it is like people put up like the deep cuts.
Gotcha.
You know, where you're like, oh, I'll listen to some and I'm like, oh, like I'm still gonna, so like I still love the podcast, but like this is like not, this is just kind of like
mm-hmm.
people talking about the stuff that I don't care about as much.
Do you listen know? To them?
If they sound interesting, I will. Now I've got good enough now where I've been like, oh, okay, yeah, this one is great. I'll listen to it. And then other ones where I've been like, I think I can sit this one out.
Gotcha.
But like the podcast itself, the main one is definitely worth like $5.
I know people love that one.
Yeah.
You have to, okay.
You don't have to pay. It's free. Okay. But I'm like, I know it takes a lot. You know, I think that now even trying to put up this one episode,
mm-hmm.
I respect, I know how much goes into just putting up one episode of a podcast.
Right. And we'll call this the mid episode check-in. Are we doing good?
Yeah. I think we're doing all right.
I think we're doing good. And who knows if this is actually the midpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell, this could be the beginning. I could just keep going. I could just start it. I could just start it in medias res.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I thought it was something that you really were going to be excited about hearing.
Yeah.
I thought you really loved that phrase.
I mean, it's fun. Yeah. In medias res. Yeah.
Anyways,
you could say medias. I don't know. I'm not a Latin snob. It's Latin, right?
In medias
res.
Yeah. I'm not either. Okay. Other differences. That's about it. Other than that, exactly on the line. No, I'd say you had a much more Christian upbringing than I did.
Yeah. But you still went to some Christian school, right?
Yeah, I went to some Catholic school.
Yeah, Catholic school. Yeah, yeah. That's you know, and that's the irony. Schools. Griffin went to more Catholic schools.
I went to more Catholic schools, which they would argue is the, you know, the real Christian, the OG Christian, and you went to a series of
public high schools in Indiana and South Carolina. But I was, even though I went to a public secular education, I was more religious. My upbringing was more religious.
Yes. It's funny because my parents, and my dad especially, they're much more religious than I am, certainly. But not as into it as your folks are.
Yeah. Yeah. My family, I think I'm the only person who is not religious.
And that's maybe, you know, going back to them kind of like not telling you stuff until later, or even if at all, I think it's probably baked into that a little bit. We shouldn't talk about this in front of the boy. It's not what God wants or something like that. Yeah. Some kind of, you know, Christian prudishness. And I don't think my family, I think Catholics in general don't really have that so much. I think at least the Southern Catholics like to really think of themselves as like the party freaks. We're cool. We're down with anything.
Yeah.
That reminded me, speaking of not telling your kids stuff or finding out stuff as an adult, I want to say in high school and was like going through like photo albums in our house, just like looking at stuff. And I found this photo album and it was my mom in a wedding, in like a wedding dress. At a wedding that was with a different guy than my dad, and my dad has black hair. I have blondish, or now dark, much darker, like kind of brown hair. But at the time, I had blonde hair, and this guy had blonde hair. And I was like, "What in the absolute hell is going on, Mom? What is this?" And like brought her the photo. And I was like, "My mom fully getting married to some other dude. Yeah. Like, what is going on?" And I think she was kind of very nonchalantly like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I was married to somebody else before your dad."
Whoa.
Yeah. Like,
how old did you say you were?
I might have been like 15, 16, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so that's like, yeah.
This might have even been college. I don't really remember. I just remember being like old enough to be like, "How in the fuck did I not know that my mom was married to somebody else before she was married to my dad?" Something that blew my mind.
Yeah, that's a mind-blowing revelation. It really has. Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't have much consequence for your life, but it is mind-blowing. How long was she married? Did she say how long she was married to this
guy? I don't remember. I think it was short. I think I remember asking her about it, and like we were in like the kitchen or dining room or something, and my dad was like watching TV somewhere else, like, and I just heard him from deep in the house go, "Yeah, fuck that guy." And I think it was just bad. I don't really know much about it, but I think he was not good. And I think the story is that he died in a motorcycle wreck.
Ew.
Or something like that. Something, yeah. Dark.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, I think there was a moment that I was like, "Oh my God, my dad's not my dad. This guy's my dad because he has blonde hair and my dad has black hair."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
None of us have black hair. But no, that no, very, very clearly I am my father's son. And then there was other just like strange Southern Gothic. I think my family's much more Southern than yours. I think people often think you're very Southern.
Yeah, I think because
in the comedy
world,
everybody thinks, "Oh, that's Tom, and he's very Southern."
Yeah, and it's because I should clarify that I grew up in Southern Indiana, which I wouldn't really consider the South at all. But my family moved to South Carolina when I was in the middle of high school, so I went to school that, and my mom's from South Carolina, and you know, was raised us with a lot of Southern manners and whatnot. But I think when I came to Chicago, people are like, "Oh, where did you come from, or where are you from?" And I just like South Carolina.
Got it.
Because it was easier than being like Indiana, and then they're like, "Oh, and then be like, "But my family doesn't live there." I mean, it's just like it's just easier to tell people that you're from the last place that you came from.
It is. It's way easier.
Anyway,
and I think you had moved from Georgia too. Like went to school in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you're just like some Southern. This is easier.
Yeah, yeah, it's not fully nothing, but I can't remember why.
Your family is more Southern.
My family, I'm named after some family and some ancestor who was a POW in of the Civil War.
Yes.
and, you know, had to, the story is, had, you know, was imprisoned in, I don't know, Kentucky or something.
Yeah.
And then had to, you know, after the war was let loose and had no shoes. So he just had to like keep wrapping like leaves around his feet and walk back to, you know, the middle of Alabama.
Yeah.
Or wherever he was from. Yeah. My family is very, I'd say very proudly Southern, very really into being Southern. And in a way, I didn't used to be. I used to kind of, like, you know, you rebel against kind of what you were raised as, or the, yeah, you know. And I didn't really feel like that until I went to college, and I went to college with a bunch of, I'd say, jackasses from the Northeast, and it made me all of a sudden be like, oh, fuck you people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would be like trying to dunk on the South, and I was just like, well, this, hold on, this is for me. I can do that, but this feels bad when you're like shitting on the place I'm from.
Yeah, it does. It does feel bad when other people shit on the South who have never spent any time there, because you're like, you don't even know. You haven't actually experienced the bad parts of it.
Yeah,
or like, or part, like, yeah, know, or the good parts.
I think that was a big thing for me in college. Yeah. Was because I did only go to school in the South, but there were lots of people, you know, who I knew clearly weren't from the South. But that would be a big thing for me, of like kind of proselytizing, like, you know, this place is weird, right? It's not like, you know, the like, you know, redneck, racist rednecks backwards thing is like, well, that's just rural America everywhere.
Yes.
The South has that, but it has it in such a strange way where, like,
yes,
you'll have a guy who you're like, he's the biggest, my dad's best friend. He's, you know, the biggest redneck you'll ever meet. He's also a genius. He's, yes, he's an absolute polyglot, you know, genius business, you know, doctor, businessman, yeah, whatever. And he's also like, hey, you, a storm's coming. Y'all want to go shoot rifles at the relay station?
Yeah,
you want to,
yeah,
go shoot rifles at the, yeah, substation? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And hey, Phil said, you want to go shoot rifles at the sub, the relay station? Storm's coming in. It'll probably take them a couple hours before they figure out it was us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he was joking.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think, whatever. I think that's a big thing for me that I like about the South, is that it's strange.
Yeah, yeah. It is a strange place. I think that you make a good point in that, like, yeah, I mean, people think it's pretty racist, and I think
it is.
But it is. It's like you make a good point that, like, that's a lot of like rural areas, and even like rural areas now are getting less, some areas are getting more chill, at least just judging by 1,000-pound sisters.
I think post-COVID, and, you know, during COVID, everybody was, you know, moving out of cities. I knew, yeah, a lot of people who were like, I'm getting out of the city, which is just, you know, Nashville.
Yeah.
And then living in, like, you know, Mount Juliet or whatever, surrounding, you know, going, yeah, to Madison, Tennessee. But I do think that that's maybe happened. I wonder if that'll continue, but I think younger people, young families moving.
Yeah.
Just like, just get away from it all.
Yeah. And you know, that's an excellent, that's the kind of broad stroke anecdotal generalizations that you listen to a podcast for.
Yeah, if you heard that and you like that, get ready for more.
Get ready for more, because we're going to make them.
Pick up the toothbrush and let me put down the toothpaste of general horse shit. I'm going to slap it on there, and I want you to take that toothbrush and just rub it on your teeth.
You know, I feel like that's a good, you know, maybe this is where we can differentiate our podcast, is I feel like so many people just, you know, make those broad generalizations, but then won't ever just catch themselves and be like, but hey, I'm just kind of making that up. You, yeah, know, uh-huh. but like I think we can stuff. Do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just saying stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some aspect of it. It's like, yes, I think that I have noticed rural areas being, you know, getting a little bit more open.
Yes.
So that's a positive.
Here's a question. And speaking of, you know, self-awareness, should we talk about why, what we're doing here even at all? Sincerely as ourselves.
Oh, yes.
Not that we haven't been.
I think so, yeah.
But I think when we recorded our abortive episode.
Yes.
Our first test, we kind of got into that. I think that was maybe a little bit helpful. Yes. Why are the two guys who like to be making fun of guys having podcasts, why are they even doing a podcast at all? Beyond that, our illustrious and dear friend, Dr. Chris Chismore, asked us to take over his podcast while,
yes,
he's away.
Yes. Goober time. From Goober time.
Yes. So we do a fake podcast called The Penis Boys.
Yes.
And this is the first on the pod. You're getting a scoop. It's fake.
Yeah, it's a fake podcast. You know, I I confirmed that, you know, again, that I think a lot of people who follow me think it's real.
Wow.
Because I was on a work trip and some of my coworkers were like, oh my God, we love your videos. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I try to be like, yeah, I like to do other, you know, like stuff that's not work comedy. Like me and my friend have a fake podcast. And they're like, oh, it's fake? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, we thought it was your real podcast, so we never watched them.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, it's a fake podcast. It's pretty clear.
And now they'll start watching. Now that they know it's fake and it's clear, it's safe
they,
to go
they
in.
They literally said, oh, we'll have to go to your page and watch all of them. So,
wow, and that's, I'd say that's a difference. The people who follow and like you on Instagram and social medias are, I'd say, fools and nimrods. they're easily bamboozled. And I'd say they're not really aware of what's going on at all in the world.
You know, I'd say they, yeah, sorry.
And my followers, they read the news. They edit. They're editing Wikipedia.
Yeah.
They're sensitive to every bump of the American landscape. And your followers are drooling morons.
I would say that there's probably, because there are so many of them, there's probably a lower media literacy.
Right. You're rate. Followed by 400,000 of America's dumbest. And I'm followed by 400 kind of normal guys.
But no, I mean, there is a sense in that, like, yeah, I feel like so many people, they're just like, oh, work guy puts out work stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now we've kind of digressed from why we started the podcast. Oh, right. But it is like, that is one thing that is somewhat frustrating about having some sort of content on social media, is that, like, you make one thing, and if you do not do that exact same thing, like, it's like people don't even recognize
you. You have to do it again and again and again. You have to do it again and stay in that pocket.
Yes, exactly. When, you know, it's fun to do anything or experiment or try anything different, which is what we did with the Penis Boys, which is kind of how the Penis Boys came to be.
Sure.
In a way.
Something new, something different.
We had originally the bit of the Penis Boys as a two vaudevillian.
Oh, right.
It was going to be a stage.
So let's go back to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, and I bet the four of you tuning into this were like, well, I'm so curious how they got here. The history, the verbal, what is it called?
The oral history
of the Penis Boys is what I was wanting. Well, and by God, you're going to get it. I'll say in 2016, maybe. I don't know. I for whatever reason, thought, man, it'd be so funny if we had a show. Me and Tom had like a sketch show called The Penis Boys, and it was fully clean. It was like an old vaudeville show. And yes, we're called The Penis Boys, and we come on and we do some songs and some dances, but there's absolutely no cursing in our show and nothing naughty at all.
Yes, and except...
And then my plan was to have either a very old woman or a small little teen boy be our music director who's playing the piano with us. And every now and then we fuck up a song and we blame it on them and we get into an all-out, absolutely vulgar screaming match with this old woman.
You use the term dog cussing.
We dog cuss them. We lash them with our words would a dog with a whip. You know how we're all whipping our dog? Yes. I don't know why. I don't know where dog cuss comes from.
Yeah, I don't know the definition, but when you said dog cuss, I kind of knew exactly what you were talking
about. It's something I've heard before. I don't know if that's a Southernism or what, but yeah. Just, you fucking piece of shit, get your fucking get down and lick the goddamn fucking stage we walk on, you motherfucking, fuck you. And then, but have like a little teen boy also, I think even like getting us even worse.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think the teen boy or the old woman wins the fight every time. And then we have to go back into like, hello, my baby, hello, my daughter, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that was the shape of it and the big idea. But then the content never came.
The content was incredibly hard. We had one sketch
that was about a horse.
Donkey brush.
I think it was a pony brush.
Pony brush.
It was a brush
pony
for
brush
ponies.
For coming, sale.
Yeah. And that's written down somewhere. And even that wasn't, that's as fleshed out as it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The content was impossible to create because it's very hard to create vaudeville style content when you have watched no vaudeville and have no reference to it other than...
I think we could have done it. I think it was just... It just seemed hard and seemed like a lot of work. Yes. So we just didn't sit down and force ourselves to do it. I think I now could probably force myself. We could force ourselves to do that show.
Yeah.
But, and boy, would that be confusing if we put it up.
Yes.
And called it The Penis Boys Live. And it was fully not that, not anything you expected unless you're listening to this podcast episode right here. And you lived in Los Angeles, California.
Yes, exactly. But so we had that in our mind. And then like we eventually were, you know, right when all those fucking podcast clips started invading, you know, our social media feeds, we were like, we got to start doing a fake podcast. It would be really fun and really easy.
Yes.
We thought it would be really easy.
I think credit to you that was your thought of like, I think you called me and we're like, oh, we should, you know, The Penis Boys, we should just do that. But it's two guys doing, just dumbasses doing a podcast.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I never would have thought of that. So I think that's, you know, credit where credit's due. That's another thing we're about. We are tallying up constantly.
Yes, yes.
Who gets what? Who's done what? We're Venmoing each other for every tiny trend.
Yes, exactly.
After this podcast, I'm going to Venmo Tom for coming up with the idea of Penis Boys.
Yes.
With interest.
Yes.
But then Tom's going to Venmo me for introducing him to his wife.
Yes.
That's not really true. No.
Well, for editing, for doing the editing and...
For doing the editing.
Yes,
right.
Oh, sure. Labor. Sure. And now this is a Penis Boys bit.
Now this is an actual thing we've done. Whoops. Yeah. Didn't mean to do that.
But yeah, so that's how it came to be. And yes, Griffin and I, we, like any good friends do, we are constantly keeping score because that's what you should do with your friends is keep score of when you do things for them and make sure they compensate you. Or do
keep track of the emotional labor you're doing and hold it against each other for years.
100%.
And the physical labor. And those are the only two types of labor I can think of right now.
Yes. 100%. Mental labor.
Mental labor. Emotional labor. Physical labor.
Prison labor.
Prison labor.
Which is kind of intertwining all three.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, sure. Anyways.
Anyway, so we did The Penis Boys. That's how The Penis Boys came to be. And we still have not paid off what we set up, which was we're going to tell people why we started doing an actual podcast. Right.
Well, and this is a thing I've learned from social media and from podcast guys, is you tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you talk about how you're going to be telling them that.
Yes.
But you don't tell them.
Yeah, and then we should have had a countdown clock going on the whole time.
Sure. We'll have a countdown. I'll put this on YouTube. It'll just be a blank screen with a countdown clock on it. It'll be 45 minutes until
reason
the
why they're
revelation.
Doing the podcast in.
Yes, in.
In.
And it's just a
1549,
1548,
1547.
Yes. And that's because enough people thought it was real, I think. And then we were like, hey, I'd listen to the whole thing. And we thought, well, you know, we've got growing audiences, Tom especially. Let's see if we can put something out longer form that people would like.
Yes, and also doesn't require us to script every line and Griffin to meticulously edit every week.
Because we have to light it.
Yeah, we have to light it. I think the thing with turning the actual Penis Boys into an hour-long podcast is that it would be very hard to stay in that character and have that like banter, the back and forth banter for an hour. And it's much easier to host a comedy podcast where we can be our authentic selves within the Penis Boys cinematic universe.
Nope.
You know, you know, Griffin and I, we're going to take some trips to Kokomo's Mungo Lounge.
Yeah, you might hear an episode live from Kokomo's Mungo Lounge. It's Goober Time with Chris Chismore, hosted by Tom and Griffin. Yeah,
and who's that stopping by the podcast? Oh, it's Rent Tandando.
Oh my gosh, it's Tony Rodeo. Back from his big fishing trip.
Yeah, who knows what exactly this will be, but it will evolve. We'll have some comedians on.
Yeah, we'll have some comedians on, and you might even meet a few crazy characters.
Yeah, crazy characters. Maybe some former president Bill Clinton.
God damn it, that sucked. I had to close my eyes.
That was one of the cursed things of the, or one of the things of the cursed episodes is I did my terrible impressions.
Yes, the cursed. And it wasn't even cursed. It was just, I just never listened to it and it seemed like, you know, don't know. It's probably fine. It's honestly, yeah, it's probably fine. We probably could have just put it out, but here we're doing it, I think, a little bit better.
Yes.
This time.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll say it. And it's a cash grab.
Yeah, it's a cash. Yeah, we're trying to grab for as much cash as we can
before it all goes down.
You might as well get your wallet out now and start throwing the money up against your iPhone or whatever you're listening on, because we're going to be grabbing that cash.
You're going to want to be grabbing the cash and then handing it to us so that we can be grabbing the cash, because that's why we're here and that's why you're here. And there's no product you can buy and there's no Patreon you can subscribe to, but we'll take the cash.
We'll take the cash. And then we can get better audio equipment. I mean, I think it's worth saying that, you know, again, we're the podcast. We have a loose idea. Hopefully it will take form. We definitely want to bring some of our friends on, none of whom are incredibly famous. I'd say some mildly famous.
I'd say
mildly recognizable.
I agree. I don't even know who you're thinking of who's even mildly recognizable. I guess this that sounds bad.
I think we are mild. I think now we might be mildly recognizable.
I've been recognized.
Yeah, me too. So I think we're mildly recognizable. I think we are going to bring, hopefully, you know, maybe a few episodes in, other mildly recognizable funny comedians.
Sure.
On to goof.
To goof. To spoof. And to drink some juice.
Jesus.
I couldn't think of anything. Good. I really wanted that to sound right.
Well, I think it sounded good.
And yeah, you might meet some crazy characters, and we might do some earnest interviewing.
Yeah, we might do some earnest interviewing if we find anyone worth interviewing earnestly.
Oh, I've got some people. I have friends in Nashville, first off, and you should just know that I can pull the ripcord at any moment and I could get out of I'm not tied to you. I can go back to Nashville and I have friends.
Okay.
First off.
That's good. I'm happy. It's healthy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So just be aware, man. But who are like in the music industry who I think would have some fun stories.
Yeah.
And interesting things.
It might be just, yeah, it could be nice just to, yeah, earnestly interview someone who.
And advice. Yes. I'd love to be giving somebody some advice.
Yeah, maybe
really want to hear their issues. If you have any issues, type them out on the podcast review the podcast and type out your issues. Yeah. And we'll talk about them. There should be some.
Now that's the way you get a lot of reviews. You say, hey, the way to get in contact with us is to do it through a 5-star review, we will read your issues on the podcast.
That's the only way we'll read your issues. There's no listener mail. There's no email account that is existing at all. But there's a 5-star review that you can leave, and we'll learn about your issue, and maybe you'll learn about your issue too, through our eyes.
It would be awesome if we had people physically write in a letter. We had a Penis Boys P.O. box.
We'd have to get a P.O. box. I can't have people knowing where I live.
No, we wouldn't want it.
Okay, I just want you to know that, Tom. I have security concerns, and I can't be found. Yeah. I don't want to be found.
Who are you saying as a
I was thinking it's funny that Sam Harris, I heard him, I used to listen to him a lot. And he would often talk about his security concerns. And he'd be talking about going to some live event and, you know, having metal detectors because of his security concerns. And I think, you know, I haven't listened to him in a long time, but I used to have a lot of respect for that guy. But I think at some point when you have so many security concerns, when you're using the term security concerns, I think maybe step back and think about your priorities. Think about, do I need to be talking about Islam so much that I'm endangering my wife and daughter's life? Maybe you think that, but I think maybe look at that for, I don't think he's looked at that.
Yes.
Maybe, yeah, that's not fair. Certainly the guy's a family man. He's thought about his wife's safety and his daughter's safety. I think he has a daughter.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how so many people are concerned with their physical security, who I'm like,
mm-hmm.
It almost never happens where like people get just like assassinated.
Salman Rushdie,
yeah.
An attempt on his life sort of recently.
Yeah, I guess he was kind of in that similar vein. But but like I'm just talking about like people, like so many people are like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to, I don't want to do this. If people, you know, like, I don't want people to know where I live or people to like know where I hang out, which like I get wanting to have privacy, but I'm like,
but like feeling scared
people. Yeah. Like for example, like I'm pretty sure I've showed my address somewhere
online,
in a video. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the numbers to my house have come up. Somewhere.
And that's a cue, listeners. Scrubbing through those videos.
I'm not welcoming it. Please don't
find,
but like,
those numbers.
Like I'm not like, oh my God, I can't. I'm so concerned about my security. It's like, no one fucking cares. No one's gonna send
screenshots of Tom's videos to the geolocation guy.
No, don't. I'm just saying people are overly sensitive to it when like most people are fairly chill, and even the weird ones are just gonna say hey and like ask too personal of a question, and then you'll say, you just, you know, brush it off and you're like, hey, good to meet you. And then they leave and no one bothers you anymore. It's like you have to have such an insane level of fame and a specific type of like rhetoric for someone to be like, I'm going to hurt this person.
Who is the last celebrity to get assassinated? The most recent is, you know, recent being a relative term.
I honestly can't think of one. I bet some of our, I bet the four listeners can.
Oh yeah,
one of our
that's
four
the kind
listeners
of guy they are.
Yeah,
and one woman.
Yeah, and they're screaming into their iPhone or whatever right now, being like,
"It's
I can't even think of anyone."
It's Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, Malcolm.
There was an attempt on Malcolm Gladwell's life last week. You morons.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be it. Well, there's, you know, John Lennon. And that was that the one to get Jodie Foster's attention?
No,
or was that
no
that was
Jodie
Reagan.
Foster was Reagan.
But he didn't even get assassinated, but you know, attempted. But like full on celebrity, like I'm not seeing, you know, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Taylor getting.
No, and those people have a right about it. To have security. It's like when you have level of fame, you absolutely need security because someone might do that. But I'm just talking about like internet people.
Are we beyond that? The celeb assassination, is that, it seems like maybe that wasn't a fad, a fixation that I just don't think about it that much.
Yeah, neither do I. Happen,
and that's good. And maybe it's not.
It's also like
security has just been beefed up and the rich have gotten richer and they're rich enough to just be safe.
Well, and I think with it, when you see, it's like, there have been a few attempts. It's like with the Jodie Foster thing, it's like Jodie Foster noticed him, obviously, but like it didn't bring him any closer. So I think other crazy guys like that can see that and be like, well, this isn't the way to get attention. If I want attention, I can just do bad things through Instagram, or I don't have to kill someone. Mm-hmm. I can, you know.
I was listening to Stuff You Should Know, and they were doing the Unabomber.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a point that they made in there, that he didn't have to do that to get attention. No. He had some good ideas, but he took the wrong way to get attention. And I thought that was a funny thing to have to point out. And they also kept like distancing themselves. Like Chuck, I think, was constantly like, and again, I don't think he's a good guy, and I'm not siding with him at all. But
yeah,
he you know, the Industrial Revolution and its consequences, it was a prescient piece of literature. You know, it was, yes. He's described our modern age, but I don't like him. And I was like, I don't think anybody's going to think that you're a pro Unabomber.
Yeah. I feel like those guys do that a lot. They really clarify. It's like, you can have a nuance. Everyone understands you're making a nuanced point. You're two very, you know, chill podcast hosts. We do not think that you believe.
I think I'd love to hear those guys cut loose a little bit.
I mean, Josh sometimes cuts loose.
Josh cuts funny. Josh goes a little funny. I want to hear Charles W. Chuck Bryant just say a couple naughty things and just kind of let it sit there.
Yeah.
Might be unsettling. Okay, well, that's probably been
long
enough.
How are we doing our time?
Well, I've got all the time in the world.
Well, I know. I think my wife is going to come home at any moment, and we will have to drive to Morro Bay.
You shouldn't have told him that.
Why?
They might go to Morro Bay and get you.
Yeah, but this is going to come out after.
I'm putting it up today as you drive.
Even then, I'm like, people, I'm not always like taking stories, but like, this is where I am. But I'm like, It doesn't matter. The worst, oh my God, the worst thing's going to happen is someone is going to know where I'm at and they're going to say, oh, it is him that I saw this weekend. And I said, hey.
There's people who do that. That's like the way that they are on social media is like they post their location and then hold up a timer and then see, you know, but it's like kind of obscured and they see how long it takes for somebody to get to them. This is a type of video.
Yeah.
There's some guy I saw the other day that's like, oh yeah, it's fully fucking strange. But I think the worry is not there anymore. There's just too many people. People are too worried with what's going on in their own lives. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
So Tom's going to say his address live on the pod.
that's the reward you get is I will say by listening to the full pod, I will say my address.
That's what's going to come at the end. I think we should record until Jordan comes home. Okay.
You never know with that LA traffic.
Wow.
And those LA kids, because, well, my wife, she works at a school.
Oh, God, Tom, you're telling them too much.
Yeah, I am.
They're going to get... They're gonna get Jordan.
I think the neighborhood that Jordan in is probably more dangerous than anybody knowing that.
Wow.
Coming to find her because she's already seen.
They can come save her.
She was the first person to see a shooting outside of her school.
Oh my God!
It was a gang related shooting, and she had to call the police.
Okay, so she's one of those. She calls the police.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was a pretty, pretty bad day.
And when I get my girlfriend who's going to become my wife, she'll never see a shooting. She'll never have to worry about seeing anything getting shot.
Because you'll keep her up in your tower.
I'll keep her apartment. Up in, well, it's her tower. But she'll stay, she'll be so safe up there. I'll create a life for her where she doesn't have to be worried about seeing somebody get shot. I'm fully losing my mind. Okay.
Okay, so how are we going to conclude the podcast? We can't just cut.
Yes, we can.
Goober Time is produced by me, Griffin, and Lauren Talmadge. Executive produced by Tim McGower. Associate producer Ahmed Stork and aspiring producer Little Jimmy Penn. Goober Time is engineered by Roger Goodrich and recorded at Detweiler Sound in Humble, Tupelo, Mississippi. Sound mixing by Reed Armband with music by Laser Monster, which is Griffin in the past. You can check it out at lasermonster.bandcamp.com. Tom's costume was provided by Padma Lakshmi with catering provided by Kokomo's Mungo Lounge. Kokomo's, if you can't take her here, you can't take her anywhere.